gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
More slogging through rain today.
Yeah, right. Roland, sexy little tour director Roland in New York.
Yes.
He was crying like a little girl. It's so cold back in New York. He called this morning. He's like, it's not a day degree. It's in New York.
What degrees is it?
Like 13.
That's kind of cold.
Nice.
That's cold.
Which is why, did you hear the story Jackie told about my new crush, Cory Booker, who I met at the inauguration?
Yes, those pictures are up on your Facebook page.
He saved a dog named Cha-Cha from the cold.
Cha-Cha.
Somebody tweeted the dog was loose and that kind of cold, and Cory Booker responded himself, and he saved Cha-Cha from the cold. He said he'd come on the show. You know.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God.
Holy Cory.
Okay, so he pulls someone out of a burning building, then he rescues a dog. What's next? Is he going to find Flipper?
Right.
Narwhal or something?
There goes the narwhal.
There goes the bikini whale.
All right, happy Friday.
Oh, look who's on the TV. Ryan Sprabos!
Oh, no. Oh. Gee, that's where the dogs would normally come in. When Jim says Ryan's Priebus.
Well, he's gone now anyway.
Well, for God's sake.
You asked me for a whole lot of stuff.
All right. All right. There. Thank you. Okay. Okay, and the whining commences.
Dog. I don't like dogs.
Ryan Priebus has a new pet.
Wait, I'm calling an audible.
Yes.
Hang on. I wasn't going to
do this. Ryan Priebus rescued something.
Oh,
Clint Eastwood's chair. It's in his office. I love this. It's now located in his office. CNN also notes that Priebus gets the joke and even points out the chair to visiting reporters before explaining to them the various recent failures of the Republican Party.
Mm.
Yeah, who was in charge of this mess?
He was responsible for.
Exactly. Who the hell is running this ship? This disastrous Titanic, for God's sakes.
And yet they re-elected
him. Who okayed that Clint Eastwood thing?
Icebergs. I hate icebergs.
Okay.
Do I have to steer around it? Okay.
Okay. It's Friday. Oops. That means sexy liberal John Fugelsang next hour for Fridays with Fugelsang. Tina Dupuy, who we also saw in Washington for who is very smart and funny. Okay. Who is? We will have her on in hour number three. She has another great piece, of course. All right. So what else? What else? Oh, I was saying, and Rude Pundit, of course, on Monday, as usual, that's where I got the quote, man, Clinton must have spent the rest of the afternoon wiping bits of ass off her shoes. he always includes a picture, and he says, Hillary Clinton's what the f*** Rand Paul face will make your day. just the screenshot itself, let alone the audio.
Had I been president at the time? Is the U.S. involved with transferring weapons to Turkey?
Turkey?
All right. Just to review what you've missed so far.
I believe the entire quote was jive-ass Turkey.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
That was a little skit that you had to put together.
I see it in the middle of the night. I thought, you know, it'd be funny. Here's a little skit. Do the thing about prison, and then the Hillary laugh is back from the primary. How handy was that?
Mm-hmm. 4 years ago.
See, that's
more
why
than 4 years
she
ago.
She deserves to be president just for that she did not bust out that laugh when Rand Paul said that. Now that is restraint.
If I had been president,
Balzac. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
All right. So, a love letter.
And my aunt had a
right.
Sure.
Be my uncle. Right. Thank you. Can't get enough of that. I said that to a friend the other day. She's like, what?
Huh? Yeah.
I'm like, it's an old joke. Okay.
Never mind.
That's not important right now.
It was the only thing that got us through the election, because every poll, they said if the election were held today, and that was the only way we could survive hearing that many times, is that we said, yeah, and if my aunt had a she'd be my uncle.
Exactly.
Try it. It works in your own life. It's a handy prop. Okay, from Dana in Maryland, who is at Sexy Liberal D.C.?
Right.
Jim, by the way, here's a fun fact for you.
Yes.
So, you know, they keep saying the historic Warner Theater, and it's just, and I kept thinking, why is it historic? And
it was a beautiful theater.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, among other things, I was reading I, Spartacus, Kirk Douglas's book.
Yes.
On the plane. And Spartacus opened at the Warner Theater, and JFK snuck in when he was president with a friend.
Wow.
To see it at the Warner Theater.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a random book to read on a plane.
Listen, Kirk Douglas watches and he thinks I'm beauty schmall.
Okay, all right.
Our friend David Bender is good friends with
right,
him.
Right, right, right.
Right.
Okay.
I'm Spartacus. And he signed the book to me, and he said...
I'm Spartacus.
Right.
Well, then,
I'm Spartacus.
He said, I'm beautiful, and when David told him I was gay, he said, what? What?
What? What? What? What?
Oh, I
exactly.
need to get that.
Exactly. So he signed my book. It was really cool. He signed it. He said to a beautiful girl who's also smart.
Oh.
So still handsome and romantic.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's a great book. So but I thought it was just one anecdote about the Warner Theater, that's where all the big shots used to go.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, and also here's another fun fact. Alan Grayson, who was on our Celebrity on panel.
Yes.
Always, he got a standing ovation for walking and sitting when he went to the theater. So did JFK.
Oh.
Yeah. They were, he was walking in, and it was even dark, and they were applauding him. And the guy he was with said, they're applauding you even in the dark. They can tell it's you.
Amazing.
Yes.
That charisma just glows in the dark.
Exactly. He had glow-in-the-dark charisma.
From sure. The other side of the theater.
You know, thank you.
That was
you,
the president.
He was a presidential glow stick.
And
what?
He reenacted the Marilyn Monroe thing with Melissa Fitzgerald on stage. So that was.
Right. He was. Like, we were hoping it was your birthday, so she could sing happy birthday to you.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
No.
No.
It was actually closer to my birthday.
Who cares? Okay. Is it me, or are we all old? Because did I start one story an hour ago?
You did. What? I forgot.
Anyway,
this is a love letter, isn't it?
I wore an onion belt at a Warner Theater.
We've gone through all 3.5 minutes of the love theme.
It wasn't the style at the time.
Okay. Oh, it's a letter from
Should
Dana.
I start the song over?
There's not enough.
It's a 3.5 minute song, you know.
Wait, I have another story.
Oh, God.
Okay.
They die at the end.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for spoiling it.
Thanks.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
500-year-old spoiler alert.
The ship sinks. Rosebud's the sled. Ha ha. It's a dude in Crying Game. Okay.
Oh, great. Now I don't have to see it.
We just do the spoiler alerts for every movie in history. Okay. Where was I?
Okay.
Here's what Grandma was saying. Oh, speaking of long, boring stories, I have a long, boring story about long, boring stories. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, boy.
No, you know the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money?
Yes.
Why do I bring him up for long, boring stories,
because
I wonder?
Because he lives in Shelbyville, which is what they used to call...
How many trips have we been on with him? And how many car rides and how many long, boring stories?
Okay. I know.
Okay.
Right.
The history of this particular neighborhood, I'm not sure you're aware.
I rode in an elevator with him. It seemed like it took 5 minutes.
Okay. Anyway, so I think I told this story the other day. See, now I'm repeating my long, boring stories about the long, boring stories. But
okay,
anyway,
here we go.
I went to see Senator Al Franken and Senator Elizabeth Warren. The luncheon was in the Willard Hotel.
Willard
Hotel. Willard. This is hard enough getting through this story.
Did they play Willards at the
No.
Hotel? Okay.
But anyway, the lobby of that hotel.
This is hard.
Okay, yes. Right? The lobby of that hotel is where people used to buttonhole senators and the president and whatever, because that's where they
lobbyists.
All went for lunch. Right, and that's where the word lobbyist came from, the lobby.
I think you told this story before.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did. But that's what I said to him. I said, oh, my God, in the history of that story was actually interesting and concise, and there was a point.
Also?
Very good.
Elevators.
Very good.
Elevators in England are known as lifts. And this one is made by the Schindler Company, so we're now in Schindler's Lift.
Steph, we have 30 seconds left in the song again.
All right. Listen. The point is, and he was saying his lovely wife always yells at him, LBS, LBS! Long, boring story.
Okay.
All right, so. Oh, I'm back to the beginning of my story. Dana and Marilyn.
15 seconds left in the song.
Just start it over. It's a love letter from Dana and Marilyn, DC Sexy Liberal. Mom and the Mooks! So much fun. Had the pleasure of meeting Rocky Mountain Mike, Francie in Delaware, Mary in Ann Arbor, Sue in Rockville, etc., etc., etc. Spending all evening with like-minded people, really refreshing. Thank you for bringing us all together. I came with old friends, but made new ones. Love and laughs, Dana and Meryl. That's what happens at Sexy Liberal. I'm sure we'll have another big announcement coming up soon for the next Sexy Liberal. Okay.
That was all there was to the letter, and we played the love theme twice.
We got waylaid.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
When I say we,
went
I mean
far the stream. Far.
Wow. I mean my little
field and stream.
Far my little wires are flapping around in Chardonnay. Been on the road. All right. By the way, I wrote to Congressman Alan Grayson to thank him for all the stuff he did for us in D.C.
Yes.
And I said, you rocked it at the Benghazi hearings. You should be out all night partying with us more often.
Absolutely.
He wrote back and said, oh, every night, if only, sigh. Hate the kid. The cuddly congressman.
I like to see him debate Rand Paul.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Watch him melt
Wait,
into a puddle.
Didn't it remind you, Rand Paul got caught in the same trap Mitt Romney did. Stop watching Fox News. You're getting talking points and crazy conspiracy theories from Fox News. That's why, you know, he got caught. Mitt Romney got caught in his biggest faux pas. Oh, really? Did somebody get this on record? Did you call it an act of fit? Yes, I did.
Yes.
Please, proceed.
Proceed,
Senator. Proceed, Governor.
Governor, whatever.
And that's Rand Paul. It's like it's some crazy thing off, what, Fox Nation or
Fox
something?
Fox Nation. That's, yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's their Free Republic-type site where all, you know, crazies can just post anything and talk about it as if it's
I
true.
Loved
Much like the Yahoo comments.
Exactly.
I loved everything about that moment. It was when the reality-based community collided. That face was like, are you kidding me? I am the Secretary of State of the United States of America. I've got to do. Really?
Turkey?
Okay. I'm a little bit busy. Anything? And then he pressed her on it, and she's like, don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And you think I would, because I'm, as I mentioned,
Secretary of State.
You.
Stick.
Thank you.
Hi.
I almost did the thing where I bleeped the wrong part.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
I was going to do dip, working. And I almost bleeped dip and not.
Only it wasn't right. Dip.
All right. Guess what? We've chewed up the entire first segment on useless, pointless stories and mindless meanderings.
Also, are you going to offer me a Werther's now?
Which, orange candy.
All boys like ribbon candy.
You're stuck with me. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Manila. Don't worry for another. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna get you one way or another. I'm gonna win you. I'm gonna get you.
Eat it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang coming up next hour. Fridays with Fugelsang. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Scott in Michigan. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. A little cold here in Michigan. But I called because I wanted to let you know about the this libertarian utopia that a developer from Oakland County named Rodney Lockwood Jr., he wants to buy Belle Isle from the state of Michigan or Detroit City for $1 billion. It's an island in the river between Canada and Michigan.
People are losing their minds. Okay. Yeah, and it'll compete with Glenn Beck's Wally World or whatever he's building. His
lesbian.
Did I just say lesbian utopia? I'm sorry. That was my...
<You're a little
laughs> just my little... Sorry. I meant libertarian.
But they want to put 35,000 people in here at the cost of $300,000 citizenship fee.
Wow.
And they want to use a currency called the Rand, which is named after author Ayn Rand.
Of course
and
it is.
And that's South African
and they
currency,
want, and their biggest business there is going to be financial, so they want to, like, have a like a Cayman Island hold there for the people can big money people can come there and shelter their tax money and stuff like that. You know,
awesome.
Isn't that a great idea?
Right, and no rules or regulations of any kind. Sure. No stoplights, no stop signs, nothing. Just go, do your thing. Right, Jim?
Yeah.
It's our fantasy. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know... Then...
Are you tired of your government taking away liberties and freedoms you can't quite name? Are your vague platitudes and third-hand anecdotal facts falling on deaf ears? Well, come secede, or sec-D with us, in the Teabagger Utopia.
Glenn, Becky, stand.
I will personally come to your house and help you pack.
Your hard-earned money is yours to keep. There are no taxes in
Glen, Becky, stand.
Of course there are no roads, bridges, police,
fire protection, no teachers, hospitals, libraries, garbage pickup, or sewage treatment in
Glen, Becky, Stan.
But hey, who cares about that big government nonsense? You'll feel like our founding fathers as you struggle against the elements, fending off wild animals and your fellow teabaggers when provisions run low and their survivalist training kicks in.
Get off my land!
Who needs government? It's overrated. Join us in
Glen, Becky, Stan.
We have freedoms with none of the responsibilities. You want to shoot your gun in any direction? Go ahead. Want to lock your wife and children in the basement? Nobody's asking questions. Remember, freedom isn't free, but with a small down payment, it can be yours for a song.
Above the fruited plain.
Glen, Becky, Stan.
Our future is in the past.
Good call, Producer Chris.
Thank you.
You just dropped that out of nowhere like a little comedy treat.
I did. It didn't need a setup or anything. It was like just
little,
there.
Little comedy ribbon candy for everybody.
Thank you.
All boys like ribbon candy.
By the way, speaking of my my 90-year-old Republican mom, who I just took to dinner for her 90th birthday
and
in Charlotte.
And her basket of cassettes.
Right. Oh, did you post my mom's cassette player?
Yes.
You can see where I come by my technical. What did I just ask you in the break? How do you work the volume on your iPad?
And I said the volume rocker button on the side.
I don't know. Okay.
It may be different on an iPad mini. I don't know. I don't own one, so.
I don't. You know what? The iPad mini's a little too small for my taste. I can't quite see.
I think you can increase the font size.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like I'd know how to do that. If I can't even find the
Where's
volume
the font button.
Yeah.
Where's the font button? Is there a big button that says font? And it's probably too small for me to see it. All right. But you know, my mom, as you know, Chris, used to be a Glenn Beck aficionado.
Yes.
When I used to be it, right? I had to watch that would be blaring any time I came. And then, but she's kind of a fair weather friend. She sort of cooled on him after he got fired.
Really?
No. Too much for my mom.
She's not a member of the Blaze?
Oh, dear. He got a little radical, which I loved. See? My mom.
A little
not
radical.
Not too late. She's 90. She's coming around on Glenn Beck.
A little radical?
Can I just tell you? Okay, so I mentioned I cry like a baby every time I leave my mom, like on my first day of kindergarten. So she left a message on my machine yesterday that made me cry again.
Oh.
Well, my mom, again, like most people a certain age, afraid of technology.
Sure.
Does your mom sound nervous when, like... First of all, she used to never leave a message. I'm like, Mom, why don't you... I could see you called. Why didn't you... Oh, dear, I don't... I think the beep makes her nervous because she sounds really nervous when there's a beep. And she's like, oh, Steffi, it's Mom. What? But anyway, this time you could tell that she wrote... She likes to write things out, so she has her thoughts together.
Oh.
You could tell she was reading a little speech on my machine. It was a little thank you skit.
She worked on it.
Oh, it was so good. Oh, Steffi, I just wanted to say thank you so much. For her date and what lovely thoughts you expressed. It was just the cutest little thing. She wrote a little, and then she'll take no further questions. That was it.
Right.
Right. It was like a little, you know, little speech, no press avail, no questions. In fact, she called during the show so she knew I wouldn't be there because you could tell she had a thing prepared.
Oh.
It was totes adorbs. I'm cry all over again. Okay.
And then she'll say something bad about the president.
Right.
No, she didn't say it. There was no anti-Obama rhetoric in it at all.
Oh, good.
All right.
Something good about the Galdern lobster.
Rick in Montana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, it would be nice to see you on Bill Maher. That would be great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Bill. Bill's talking to you.
Dianne Feinstein introduced a bill to ban assault weapons.
Yes, she did.
And I just don't think it's going to pass because now I find that we need 60 votes again because Harry Reid has given up the possibility of changing the filibuster.
I don't know. It's because I love Dick Durbin. You know, we just saw him in D.C. We'll talk about that. I mean, of course, he says they're all happy with it. I know a lot of progressives are disappointed. We will talk about all of that and the gun and the assault weapons ban.
Disappointed!
And right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't even get through that thought. I am hung to the over.
Hell to the F. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's dive into the right wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, okay. Or not. Okay. Yay for our computer. Yay. We love it. Okay. Rush, by the way, some right winger just tweeted us that Hillary got her ass handed to her.
Yeah. Hashtag you suck.
Awesome. Thank you.
Was he watching?
Yeah, he wasn't watching the same.
Right. Even right wingers admitted that she mopped the floor. That's why they had to say it was a conspiracy and right wing was in on it. And
They attacked her.
Oh, and the media, who's always been so kind and loving to the Clintons.
Right. Of course.
It's a media conspiracy to make her look good.
They attacked her instead of addressing the substance of what was said at the
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. In your world, that's right. Rand Paul really mopped the floor with her.
Oh,
if
sure.
If I had been president.
Yeah, let's listen again. I maybe you're right. Maybe I missed something, Jim. Maybe we missed the nuance of what happened. Maybe we missed the nuance of what happened. Or maybe.
Had I been president at the time? Is the U.S. involved with transferring weapons to Turkey?
Turkey?
Oh, your precious Rand. Okay, Rush Limbaugh on John Kerry's hearing yesterday.
John Kerry got heckled, as he once was a heckler. John Kerry got heckled, and he appreciated it. He was even a protester one time, too. He served in Vietnam. He was a war protester, and therefore he thanks the woman who showed up and heckled him. I wonder if he gave her the ticket to get in. Ah, that's just the cynic in me.
Ugh, God, what an idiot.
Because, by the way, John Kerry also mopped the floor with, who was it, Ron Johnson, who nailed him about that. You didn't go to the Benghazi hearing.
We'll have that audio.
Schnozzle.
Perhaps if you had gone to the hearing.
Yeah, demanding answers from Hillary Clinton. You know, we had a hearing with tapes and everything.
And there were answers in that hearing.
Everything was explained.
Of course, it helps if you're there to hear it, the hearing.
Right.
Ooh, you're bringing back the John Kerry impression.
That's why it's called a hearing.
How can you ask a man to be... Never mind.
There you go.
He lost the Boston accent a long time ago.
Yeah.
I know. Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends on Hillary.
A couple of times she was complaining about the fact that, you know, essentially she was blaming the Republicans. Oh, we don't have enough funding for the embassy security and stuff like that. Remember, Hillary Clinton a number of times went up to Capitol Hill to ask for money for... Among other things, keeping the people who work for the Department of State safe.
Yeah.
Did she ever say, look, you guys are short shifting me. I need more money for embassy security?
That's
exactly what she did.
That's exactly what she did.
You just said going up to the Hill and asking for money is.
What the? When she went there to ask for more money, why didn't she ask for more money?
What?
Do you listen to what you just said?
Yeah.
And yet he still draws a paycheck.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand
And by the
way,
I was reading yesterday, John McCain's on record is when he went and visited over there, saying, you know, glowing things about what was happening. He didn't say, oh, by the way, they're in danger. They need more money.
Yeah.
He's on. He's quoted after that trip. It's like...
And who was against more funding for embassy security? Rand Paul.
Yes. Exactly. He would have cut the... he'd cut the State Department if it was up to him.
I'm not sure about this whole government thing. I think we should just disband it.
You know, Jim, when we all feel dumbed down after listening to Steve Doocy, what can you do? You need to step up to Brian Kilmeade.
Oh, God. Oh,
this is the Lance Armstrong principle of when you're in trouble, yell at the person asking you a question. That's the way he kept everybody off of him for 15 years.
Oh.
And believe me, that's what I thought of right away, because when she gets angry, you do not want to be in her crosshairs.
Yeah. Wow. The New York Post with a really sexist cover.
Yeah, how about that?
Has that ever happened before? They always find the exact worst picture and angle of Hillary Clinton. So it's Hillary from the side.
Yeah.
You know, looking like she's yelling. And it just says, no wonder Bill's afraid.
Okay, I have a really...
Wow, could that be more... She's the Secretary of State of the United States.
I have a really high bar for offensive humor. It takes a lot to offend me.
I'll say.
That was offensive.
Yeah. No wonder Bill's afraid, because she's, I get it, a naggy wife.
Yeah, she wears the pants of that family.
Meanwhile, on Fox News, another Murdoch-owned franchise, John McCain complained Hillary got away with ducking questions because, quote, she obviously has an adoring media. Oh, we all recall how warm the media has always been to the Clintons.
Yeah.
And to Hillary. Absolutely. Why, I treated them with kid gloves, hardly reported anything. Okay, Alan West, why?
What?
Really? We voted you. Go, please go away now.
Yeah, they keep bringing him back.
I'm guessing he has a thought or two about chicks in the military.
He does.
Okay.
I think that's where our focus should be right now, the decline of situation in the Middle East, sequestration, and not so much this, I guess, foray into an equality trip. And I would have to tell you that, look, I have to tell you, if this be the case, then why do we have separate hockey leagues? You know, women should be out there playing ice hockey with the guys in the NHL. We should not have a WNBA. I can't shoot a three-pointer, but there are ladies out there that can certainly take me to the hoop. So maybe they should be competing with Kobe Bryant.
You know, don't you hate people that make analogies that they know are stupid? There's a lot of technology and what do you call it? You know, advances in
stuff.
Military stuff. That right. Obviously, if women can, as Leon Panetta said, if they can't pass the physical test, they're not going to be in that
exactly
job. He's he blessed. He said that it could lead to the demise of the military. We're hearing all the exact same things we did about gays when they talked about gays in the military.
Yeah.
He wrote, he Facebooked about it. He said G.I. Jane was a movie and should not be the basis for a policy shift. Oh, because that's primarily what Leon Panetta cited.
Yeah.
I thought Demi Moore was spectacular, and so I was thinking, moron! How many years ago was that anyway? G.I. Jane. Like, what? This is the misconceived liberal progressive
vision.
That was
over 10 years ago.
Like, you would see, at least he didn't go to striptease like I would have.
Right.
This is the misconceived liberal progressive vision of fairness and equality, which can potentially lead to the demise of our military.
I think he's suggesting she might have got niblets in her hoo-ha.
That could happen.
And then he went on to say,
"In the only chance that I am going to roll around naked in cream corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha."
Yeah, that's what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the same mess hall together. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Really?
What?
Must we?
What? Oh.
Ted Nugent at a gun show.
Yeah.
I'm part of a very great experiment in self-government where we the people determine our own pursuit of happiness and our own individual freedom and liberty. Not to be confused with the Barack Obama gang who believes in we the sheeple and actually is attempting to re-implement the tyranny of King George that we escaped from in 1776. And if you want another Concord Bridge, I got some buddies.
Oh, he's got buddies. Macho and scary.
You want to take on the army?
Yeah.
Tell us how you do.
Yeah. His threats are always so scary. All right. We have Brian Fisher of American Family Radio.
He dropped another bon mot.
Okay.
It's a simple fact of biblical history that if we do not as a nation come to the place of national repentance for the sin of abortion, we will have to pay for that with the shedding of American blood. It could be through civil war.
Uh-huh.
It could be through anarchy. Okay. It could be through Muslim fundamentalists and the terrorist attacks on the United States. But one way or another, we cannot escape God's justice.
Well, he started with a lousy premise, the fact of biblical history. Those are three things that don't belong together.
There's that.
Yeah.
So if we don't get rid of abortion, the terrorists will win.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right.
It's only logical.
Right. Sure.
My head hurts.
All right.
Glad it's Friday.
Yes, me too. Pam writes, by the way, remember when... Oh, I might need some nostalgia music about the gun debate. I remember 35, 40 years ago, cigarettes were allowed everywhere when you went to stores, hospitals, restaurants, bars, even schools. When people started to get sick from smoking, the government imposed a tax on cigarettes. That just went higher and higher. The more cigarette lobby fought, the more the government squeezed them back with public service messages, fear of secondhand smoke killing you and your children. We can no longer smoke anywhere within 30 or 40 feet of any entrance. We have to do the same with guns. Why can't we impose a gun tax on gun owners?
There you go.
And a license that needs to be renewed every 4 years, every few years, like a driver's license. Thank you.
Ted Nugent and his buddies are going to take over and take on the military. Those guys are pansies. I'll take them down.
Ted Nugent.
Wow.
That's Ted Nugent.
Yeah, really? You take on the Army and the Marine Corps and the Air Force and the Navy.
Yeah. Okay, really? Okay.
All right.
Ted. Barbara in Florida. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say I like your show.
Thank you so much.
And kudos to Hillary and to John Kerry.
Yes.
For their performance. But what I'm really upset about is what happened in the Senate last night.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Harry Reid made a promise to the American people. I was one of those workers that worked hard and called and knocked on doors to get President Obama elected again. And for Harry to do what he did yesterday was just, he should resign. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's one. You know, it reminds me of the public option debate. Is that I get it? Liberals are really disappointed. Dick Durbin said, and this is what I know people get tired of hearing. Like, why do we have to compromise? But I don't know. I'm not in the position, so I'm not sure what else you can get done with Mitch McConnell. But he said that that's how this world works. People start aspiring at very high levels. You get a negotiation, then you reach something called compromise. There's a very positive feeling among people in our caucus. But the fact that the two leaders have been able to work it out together is great for the Senate. They're saying, I mean, again, we're hearing the better than nothing argument. Mm-hmm. Let's get into that when we get back. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only place in America where dissent is still allowed. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Paul in Nevada agrees with our last caller on the filibuster reform. Hey, Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
16 years ago, I stood right next to Harry Reid in a protest against Sheldon Adelson at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And I was there with the IBEW and a whole bunch of other unions. And I know what you're saying, that Dick Durbin likes this agreement, but they also like the fiscal cliff agreement.
Yeah.
And,
Paul, I get your frustration. I don't know if you heard, but we had Senator Merkley on right before we went to D.C. And, I totally agree with you. And he had said, I think on our show, and I'm reading the quote here, the president can't act on legislation if the Senate can't act on legislation. Therefore, it's so important that we end the secret silent filibuster that has plagued this body. And, but what happened is, of course, Harry Reid, as usual, got pushback from senior and centrist Democrats who does remind me of, whether it's the public option or whatever, some of these conservatives, it's us not obviously being unified.
I understand,
right?
But if Harry's a leader, then he's got to assert his leadership.
I agree, yeah.
He even said in the 2 years, coming up to the election, that we had to do something about the filibuster, that Merkley and Udall were right. He should have listened to them right after the election, he said.
Yep.
He was going to do something. It wasn't going to be a handshake agreement. And what do we end up with?
Yeah.
A handshake agreement with Fergalman.
Here's what he said yesterday. He said, I'm not personally at this stage ready to get rid of the 60-vote threshold. With the history of the Senate, we have to understand the Senate isn't and shouldn't be like the House.
But they weren't talking about getting rid of it. They were talking about making them stand on the floor and present their idiotic arguments. This isn't getting rid of filibuster. Harry Reid has lost all my respect. And believe me, I had a lot of respect for the man.
Yeah.
I stood next to him. I talked to him. I supported him. And I live in Nevada.
I agree with you. There's so much of this, Paul, sort of like, this is, the decorum of the Senate and you have to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we're not getting anything done. I mean, and granted, it's more the House Republicans that are the problem, but,
maybe I ought to make Elizabeth Warren the leader of the Senate. She's got more
balls
than Harry.
Yeah, exactly. I know. She made the AIG's nutsack.
Just
shrink back up.
Go shunk.
Shunk. Exactly.
Wow.
What? Yes.
Shunk.
That's the sound it makes when an insurance giant's nutsack.
How would you
ascends.
Know? Never mind.
Despite strong criticism from progressive supporters of reform, like a couple people we just talked to, Senate Democrats rallied around a scaled-back filibuster deal negotiated by Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell, broadly agreeing changes to the rules or at least a step in the right direction. This is what we've heard before, better than nothing, and I suppose, I read what Dick Durbin said. They went one after another, all these senior and centrist Democrats like it, Dianne Feinstein, Carl Levin. Senator Ron Wyden, our friend, who we've had on, said, I am with my colleague Jeff Merkley on the substance, but I think Senator Reid has done a very significant bit of reform. So Bob Casey, who I just met and chatted with, I like very much. You know, he said, yeah, I'll support it. There are some who wanted to have additional reforms, but this is, I think it's a good way forward. Look, we have to try to reach bipartisan agreements around here on a more regular basis. So, you know, obviously some senators think it's something, but I get it. We had everything Senator Merkley said when we had him on just made such good sense to me. I mean, you think it's such a simple concept, but yes, why don't they have to actually talk? Why can't they can't
with,
just
with
threaten.
These kind of bipartisan deals, we would have lost World War II because the Republicans said, I'm not so sure about getting in war with Germany.
First Hitler reference.
There you go. First one of the morning. All right. And, hey, almost to the end of the first hour.
I know.
Rich in Minneapolis. Hi, Rich. Welcome. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I've got to jump in on Harry Reid. I think he's playing chess, and a lot of these critics are playing checkers because the low-information voters are just now getting the message that the Republicans have been blocking everything. And so I think what he's doing now, he's going to let them dummies block more and more, and maybe the House will even change next time. But that's not what I called. The reason I called is because the critics of the women in the military, they're forgetting that the women are, it's a volunteer service. And the women that are doing it because they know they can do it. And you sissy ladies like you, Stephanie, come on now, man up.
Right? Oh, it's time for me to man up? I'm too old to join the Army, fortunately for me and for the Army.
Oh, darn it. I darn it, I'd follow you anywhere.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Women like me make...
Wow.
I'm trying to quote a Sheena Easton song, and I'm
Nations go to war over women like
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
It's a form of appreciation.
Right, thank you. That is a little sad that you were able to whip out a Sheena Easton lyric this hour in the morning.
I'm scared.
Stacy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stacy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was hoping you could talk about the bill that New Mexico is introducing about forcing women to continue with their pregnancies even in cases of rape and incest.
Oy.
For DNA, basically, is what they're saying.
God, you know, Stacey, did they not get the message of this election? Did they not see the huge numbers that women went for the president and for Democrats in?
Yeah, you know, they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's to some people, like, this election never happened, and they're just continuing with the same, you know.
Crap.
Right. Yeah, as we said, you know, when you have to say the rapey Republican lost in your party, you have to go, which one? You know your party's...
got a problem.
Right. Hmm. Got a chick problem, as they say. By the way, somebody was saying they had their first that's where Newt Gingrich was going. He was in my flight in coach on the way to Charlotte.
Yeah.
They were having a little Republican meeting there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, about how the outreach and the moving forward, as they say. Wait a minute. I have leftover Thai food on my. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Rutabaga.
No, I can't find it. Never mind.
What are you looking for?
All right. It's the story about that. They already screwed up in their outreach to women and minorities, but that's to be expected. All right. So we're going to talk.
Thai food is not the best thing for breakfast.
Really? Why?
It's spicy.
No, I don't get it spicy. I don't like it spicy. All right.
Spicy things for breakfast. Hot sauce in your eggs.
I think that's right. Wrong as well.
Well, yeah, aren't we judgmental?
You eat cottage cheese with pineapple in it.
Yes!
Yak.
I'm not eating spicy. I don't like spicy. I'm eating Pad Wun Fen.
Pad Wun Fen.
Right.
Is it from that place I told you about?
Yes! 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 I do what you tell me.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Did I? By the way, here's a little story.
What?
I think I'll do a little story instead of going to the assault weapons ban.
Well, we're... Yeah.
Chris, because Jim, as you know, I'm a
shut-in.
Right, elderly shut-in loser, nearly incapable of operating
anything.
Or functioning in life on my own.
Yeah,
and yet I have to because I'm a single loser.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris not only produces my show, he produces my life. Chris, explain how I could have gotten around Washington without you.
You
during
really
inauguration
couldn't.
Week. No.
No, we couldn't have found the Farragut West metro station
no.
to save our
life. Chris had an iPhone, and I didn't also know how to operate the metro. Thing.
Oh, the turnstile where you have to stick ticket in and take it out.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. It was like having a toddler. He was like, take your ticket out.
Take your ticket out.
Take it out again. You got to do it when you get off too. Okay. Get on the train. Okay. Get off the train. Follow me. Okay.
Sit down.
Take your ticket out again.
I threw it away.
Anyway, he does. He produces my life. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And I told you about this Thai place.
Right.
And it's really good.
Yeah. Mm. You see, he had to send it to me because I couldn't find it otherwise. Yep. He emailed me the link. Thank you. I'm useless. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is. It's Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. We have all our pictures up from the inauguration on Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Sexy Liberal Facebook. What? Speaking of sexy liberals.
Who's that Friday?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Direct from working 12 hours on current television and having a little tiny baby. Here he is on 0 hours of sleep. Good morning!
And on top of it being extremely cold in New York City.
10 degrees. I've been walking to work because I don't go to the gym anymore because I don't have a life. So I'm walking 2 miles to work in 10-degree weather. And you're in L.A.
Aw, Grandpa.
Good morning.
Grandpa. Yeah. And how much snow?
Take your vitamins. I'll be moving back soon.
Hooray!
Yay! Back
soon. Good morning, kids. Greetings from Current, facing the east.
Ah, didn't you get any? See what you did there. Wee! Now, did you, you didn't get any heat from the, the Hillary hearing at all?
my goodness.
From the white hot can of whoop-ass?
How much fun was the Hillary hearing?
Oh,
my God.
Awesome.
It's... Come for the hypocrisy, save for the misogyny. It was fantastic.
Damien in Pennsylvania writes, Steph, now when I say anything truly asinine, my wife just looks at me and says, Turkey?
Turkey?
Yeah, it's become a code now for, let's review what happened at the hearing, shall we, with Ron Paul.
Had I been president at the time? Is the U.S. involved with transferring weapons to Turkey?
Turkey?
Oh, we're not laughing at you, Rand. We're laughing really, really hard at you.
Really amazing seeing Rand Paul begin his campaign for the 2016 presidential race the same day we see Hillary Clinton win it.
Yeah, exactly. That was just a thing of beauty. And I love that John McCain, of course, didn't have the nads to say this to her.
Yeah.
He goes on Fox and Friends. And said her response to Senator Johnson, that whether it was a spontaneous demonstration or not, saying it didn't matter. It didn't matter how these people died. That was stunning. First of all, she didn't use the words, it didn't matter. She said, she asked Johnson, what difference at this point does it make?
Right.
During the interview, McCain also accused the administration in engaging of a cover-up following the attack and suggesting that the adoring media will protect Clinton and the White House by shifting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've always been so adoring of the Clintons and
so they've been so
respectful.
Easy on the Clintons.
Yeah.
Wasn't it amazing, after 8 years of having Republicans hate Hillary Clinton as first lady, then 12 years of having them love her as a rather conservative senator and secretary of state, now it's like a time machine back to the 90s, and we'll have 4 years of hate. That whole hearing was more 90s than my faith No More Gin Blossoms mixtape. It was incredible.
Wow. Faith No More.
Wow.
Uh-huh. The only way John McCain can exploit the Libya deaths more would be to physically shoot Benghazi t-shirts out of a NASCAR gun at a rally.
Yeah, I mean, it really is ridiculous. I mean, they obviously are taking her out of context on purpose. They know she wasn't saying it didn't matter that Americans died. She was saying,
no, what she said, it was a polite way of saying, you know, they're dead, you're exploiting it. Because remember back in the foggy mists of 2001, Steph, where Republicans said it was treason to ever criticize a president during wartime?
Yeah. Right.
So now this guy should be impeached for not acting quickly enough when our consulates attacked. But in 2001, Bush can sit there in nursery school with a numb look on his face, and that's more manly than John Wayne freebasing Androgel. It was insane. The hypocrisy. They used it in 2001, they used a terrorist attack that they exploited to attack Iraq, and in 2012, they used a terrorist attack they exploited to attack Barack. And
I'm
that's
sorry,
their whole game.
You had to drop Androgel in the middle of that. So let's discuss for a moment, shall we? Because that's the new Cialis commercials on cable TV, right?
Yep. Yes. Are you about
the Androgel?
Do you have low T?
Well, I mean, but half the commercial is the side effects. You're just like, oh,
I know.
Oh,
are you, really?
Oh,
essentially,
the exploding scrotum. Wow, that doesn't seem good.
What they're saying essentially with this commercial is, are you a man who suffers from aging?
Yeah.
You might have aging human syndrome.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that because there's all kinds of estrogen mimicking things in the environment
right.
now.
Well, absolutely.
The pesticides and
right.
A lot of additives.
Chick spray.
And plastic bottles.
Wow.
It's,
yeah. I don't know. The androgel seems scary to me.
Well, it's very, very manly.
And then it says don't get it on anybody else.
Yeah.
Don't get it on your wife.
Don't let it touch your wife or she'll grow beards.
Yeah.
Your wife may grow a penis if she comes in contact with androgel.
I'm afraid I'm going to grow my unibrow back. You guys aren't using it, are you?
What you guys missed after the Hillary hearing was the New York Post the next day.
Guys, we talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, my God, this is Rupert Murdoch, who held a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton before she began running for president.
Yeah, here come the sexist headlines, and they try to find the worst picture, and, you know.
Yep, and then Sean Hannity goes on the air and has a graphic saying Hillary unglued. At all, first he says that Hillary Clinton didn't really care, that it was all a fake, that she was just putting on this emotion.
Yeah.
Then he says it was Hillary unglued. So essentially what Hannity's saying, and help me out on this because I'm a little slow, I went to public school.
It was too staged and she was too unglued.
Yeah. Yeah, so really, she's a cold, calculating phony with no real feelings and an emotionally unhinged train wreck. That's Hannity world.
They can't even pick a theory and stick with it. I was reading this. Talking Points memo said this. You know, they obviously, you were listening, John, to the fringes of right-wing world. They literally were accusing her of faking a concussion and a blood clot to avoid appearing. So now...
Well, she's good if she can fake a blood clot.
So that put those conspiracy theories to rest, and then it gave rise to a new round of theories claiming her show of emotion was a ploy to dodge tough questions.
They're the gang who can't smear straight.
Yeah. Ron Johnson said, I'm not sure she'd rehearsed for that type of question. I think she just decided before she was going to describe emotionally the four dead Americans, the heroes, and use that as her trump card to get out of the questions. It was a good way of getting out of really having to respond to me. She did respond to you, you moron, and she wiped the floor with you.
What can I say that Ron Johnson is the single dumbest member of the House or Senate I have ever had the pleasure to meet? I interviewed him on CNN, and I'm not a journalist. I can say it. He's a lying sack of liquid crap, Stephanie.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why?
The guy... Well, I'll tell you really briefly my exchange with him on CNN.
You mean to say...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Okay.
Scott Walker keeps him around to look dignified. Really quick story. We're on CNN on Soledad's show. Soledad again unwisely lets me ask a question. Ron Johnson's on there saying how Barack Obama's done nothing about illegal immigration, so we've got to get Mitt Romney in there. And they let me ask, so I said, Senator Johnson, Fugelsang here, good morning. Considering this president moved National Guard troops to the border, considering he's had a record number of deportations, considering he actually did an executive order to make the DREAM Act law, and considering that according to census results, we have a net zero increase of illegal immigration into this country, how can you say he's done nothing when Governor Romney won't even give us his point of view on the DREAM Act? And Ron Johnson actually said, well, that whole no more illegal immigration, that's just because the economy's so bad. To which I replied, so Bush gets credit. And, that was the last time I did see him.
That was it. You were cordially disinvited.
But it was so rude. These are the guys who told us that if we don't united we stand and rally behind the president after a terror attack, it's treasonous. And now they're exploiting it just for cheap political points. And they're going to drop it like the Ground Zero mosque now that these hearings are over.
It goes on and on. Rush Limbaugh called her emotional opening part of the script. Laura Ingraham tweeted in an email accusing Clinton of lip-syncing crying about Benghazi victims.
Lip syncing?
God.
You know, reading from a statement. She was reading from a statement, and that's true. And she got choked up during it, although the part about the mothers who will never see their husbands again, that was completely ad-lib. That wasn't in the prepared remarks that were released.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she did this, and let's not forget, John Kerry cleaned Ron Johnson's clock yesterday by pointing out he didn't even go to the Benghazi classified hearing.
Uh-huh. That's what we were talking about last hour. And
now they love John Kerry again.
Sean Hannity, we played it last hour. This anger, this outrage, I can tell you it was not spontaneous. It was staged, probably under the direction of James Carville. I mean, here we go again, right? You know, I mean, like you say, John, they can't even pick a narrative about Hillary. I think they're so scared of her.
No,
in 2016.
And again, it's this Republican airborne amnesia. They hated her, then they loved her, now they're going to hate her again for the next 4 years. Like, now they love John Kerry. Remember when they were mocking John Kerry's heroic military record? And it is, by the way, rent the movie Going Up River, the guy is a hero, while they were praising George Bush, who was drunk celebrating being able to be legally AWOL from the Texas National Guard. totally backfired in their face, because if they had kicked Bush to the curb and let John Kerry become president in 2004, he would have inherited the Bush crap storm.
Yep.
He would have been out in 4 years, and Mike Huckabee would be in a second term in the White House now, mm-hmm. and the Republicans would have that power. They'll never have it again. They blew it.
Here's that moment John was just talking about with John Kerry and Senator Ron Johnson.
So you work with me then on an ongoing basis then, so we can get that behind us, so we can find out what actually happened. Then we can move beyond that. I mean, can you just make that commitment to me?
Well, I think, Senator, in all fairness, I think we do know what happened. I think that it is very clear. Were you at the briefing with the tapes?
No.
Well, there was a briefing with tapes, which we all saw, those of us who went to it, which made it crystal clear. We sat for several hours with our intel folks who described to us precisely what we were seeing. We saw all of the events unfold. We had a very complete and detailed description.
Which you missed. Because that had something better to do.
Wrong.
A teabagger gets teabagged.
Yeah, exactly. And then here is the here's one more.
I mean, it makes a big difference whether or not the American people have the confidence that the president and the administration is being truthful with them. So I guess my question is, do you agree with that point? And are you willing to work with me? Or do you basically kind of agree with Hillary Clinton that that's kind of yesterday's news and let's move on?
That's not what she said.
Well, Senator, if you're trying to get some daylight between me and Secretary Clinton, that's not going to happen here today on that score. But I think you're talking past each other. I don't think I don't think that was the question. I think that if your question is, should the American people get the truth and does it matter, Hillary Clinton would say yes, and I say yes.
Yep, bottom line.
Yeah, but he said I think that's not what she was referring to. Clinton was referring to the sequence and the timing of the events and
exactly.
when the intelligence information came to light. Mm-hmm. Kerry said, I just love this whole narrative, John. I mean, somebody said, like, Hillary hit Johnson so hard, he seemed like, out of breath.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll tell you one thing Hillary Clinton failed to do. She failed to remind these people that on that day, September 11th, 2012, there was outrage over this video, and we had over 20 protests at different embassies around the Middle East, including Israel, where Islamists stormed our embassy, took down our flag, and put up an Islamist flag. Is it not reasonable, lady and gentlemen, to presume that perhaps the CIA could have made an intel error in just assuming that this was related to those other 20-plus attacks on our embassies or protests? On our embassies that day. But the only time you're allowed to have bad intel for a Republican is when it winds up with 4,000 dead soldiers.
Yep. Then mm-hmm. they just love it.
Right. Well, I mean, what she was talking about is in the heat of it, in the middle of this, like, what did it matter? Like, what you...
There
that's
were four
the most
people
important
dead.
Thing is to find out, like, well, I mean, obviously...
Was it a terrorist attack or was it a protest? It could be both.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have TVs and radios. They know what's going on in Cairo.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue more Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, love letter for John Fugelsang, everybody.
What?
Jess in Virginia. Steph and the gang, thank you all for an amazing evening. Sexy Liberal DC. John, I'm told it was the best show ever. I don't remember because, as usual, I was.
Drunk.
Yes. However, good for
you
us.
You were great.
Good for
Stephanie,
us.
Stephanie was so good at this DC show, children
I
listening on radio.
I am John Fugelsang. Anyway, the
I
point is...
I sat in the audience for Stephanie's set, and I watched the entire thing.
Oh.
And it was beautiful.
I did,
beautiful.
Too.
Precious,
you
precious.
You let a large African American man grind against you.
I did
during your set, and
I did.
And you got applause for it.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know how you did that. When
Thank
I do
you.
That, they
I
call
get
my
applause.
Parole officer.
I get applause for dry humping. That's pretty much my act. Okay, Steph and the gang. Thank you for an amazing evening this past Saturday. Blah 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 blah. Skipping down here, we were able to meet John Fugelsang. My heart is still a flutter. Uh huh. Let's see. Oh, and Jim, my mm-hmm. husband, adult daughter and friend were on their way out. There was Jim. He was so kind. He gives a good hug and grope. Uh-huh. He also graciously took the time to chat with us, especially my husband, about military aircraft stuff.
Wow.
Jim loves plane stuff. Not surprisingly, my husband's a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who served for 28 years as an aviator. Please thank Jim for being unbelievably gracious. He is planning somebody as my fantasy next husband.
That's not the first adjective I think of when I just
That is not
think
the word
Jim.
I think of when I think of Jim.
No.
That's Greaso.
He's a terribly different person out of the studio.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jess. We loved it.
That was a line from Hard Drinking Lincoln.
Ah, Screezel.
Screezel. Ollie is alls. All right.
By the way, you should go find Hard Drinking Lincoln online.
Yeah, it's
very,
still there.
Very funny. Yes.
Everything
that's where
Jim
I got that.
Funny.
Yes, I first did that.
That's our John Boner impression.
Yeah.
Scrapple. What a night, Scrapple.
And he gets drunk every episode, and he dies. He gets shot in the head every episode.
No.
So it's
he's like Kenny from South
Park. Yeah,
Park.
Yes, exactly. Pretty much. It's funny.
All right. Let's see here. We have Jerry in North Carolina. Hi, Jerry. Welcome. You're on with John. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good morning.
Good
Love
morning.
Your show.
Thank you.
I wish y'all would start a big discussion on taking Medicare and Social Security off budget so the American people can see that we do not have enough tax money coming in for anything except the bloated DOD budget. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a retired Marine mm-hmm. combat veteran, and I believe in defense, but we are wasting some big bucks, and Social That's Security should no longer be a piggy bank.
Right.
Yeah.
Spend on everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. It cannot be said enough. And, you know, John, we just saw Bernie Sanders, and every time he's on and talks about that, he makes such good sense. He's like, we do not have a crisis. It's like that they keep fear-mongering, every time in the same way, right?
Exactly right. You know, and it's look, you know, how many times do you want to be proven right and still be scorned by the right wing?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't really have much to add to what you said.
All right. That's right. I can't tell you're in New York. I thought you were asleep. All right.
No, sorry. I was chatting with my girlfriend back in Hawaii.
Okay.
Aww. That is totes adorbs.
Aww. Okay. John Kerry yesterday.
If you confirm me, I would take office as secretary, proud that the Senate is in my blood, but equally proud that so too is the Foreign Service.
Yeah. Cha. Mm-hmm. Exactly. John Kerry again yesterday talking about
We will
about
do what we must do to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. And I repeat here today, our policy is not containment, it is prevention. Mm. And the clock is ticking on our efforts to secure responsible compliance.
Hmm. And Grampy was somewhat less cranky with John Kerry than
well,
he was.
Yeah. Well, because they negotiated the normalization of relations with Vietnam together
right,
in the
right,
Senate.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's great foreign policy experience.
Mm-hmm. Working toward that end with John and witnessing almost daily his exemplary statesmanship is one of the highest privileges I've had here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And now they can try to get a male nude Cosmo model into his Senate seat.
God.
Yeah, but what about Ed Markey, who we saw in...
Ed Markey!
Exactly.
Who we saw in D.C.?
Well, Ed Markey is the kind
so
of guy...
Fast. Not so fast, Senator Fold.
Oh, Ed Markey is exactly the kind of guy who's going to show up. Nothing against Martha Coakley, but he's going to actually campaign for the job.
Yeah. And don't get your pink patent leather shorts in a twist already, Senator Fold.
Senator.
You just hang on now. Okay. And Hillary Clinton yesterday.
John is the right choice to carry forward the Obama administration's foreign policy, and I urge his speedy confirmation.
That's right, because he's not a turkey.
I love John Kerry. I'm so happy for him that he's getting some respect finally.
No, pardon me. I thought you were clearing your throat, John. Mary in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hello. How you doing,
Good.
Stephanie? That was me. I am so sorry.
That's all right.
I'm calling because I wanted to just make a point about, you know, perhaps we shouldn't be so quick to judge. We should be a little... slower to judge with Bernie Sanders.
Oh, you mean because, Harry Reid, or do you mean Harry Reid or Bernie Sanders?
Oh no, I'm sorry, Harry Reid.
Right,
you're correct. I'm sorry. It's because he's seasoned. He knows what he's doing, and he looks at the big picture, and he looks at it in the long run. And with all of these Republican-controlled houses in various states that you know would normally vote for a Democratic president. If they get a chance to gerrymander and get control where those votes, no matter what the popular vote is, it goes towards the Republican.
Yeah, we'll talk about...
He's going to kill the assault weapons ban, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about what they're up to with that as we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at you.
Stephanie Miller.
Aren't you just one big slice of fancy?
Well, I'm a professional.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Sexiest liberal in the world, John Fugelsang, asleep in the New York Bureau.
Good morning.
But he does have his spine and his orange crush.
Well, sure. Yes.
Stephen wants to know, said Hillary ate their lunch when they broke for lunch at the hearing. What kind of sandwich did she order? I know. I'm guessing turkey? Okay,
yeah.
I get it. Okay.
Well, she I swear to God, I turned on the TV and I was watching this blonde woman thrash all these men. It took about 20 minutes to realize it was the hearing and not Kill Bill Part 1. It
yeah,
really was.
Yeah, I was slaving in the harem. Okay. All right. Before the break, our caller was talking about what a lot of... progressives are talking about how Republicans plan to rig the next presidential election in six pictures.
Mm-hmm.
John, I'm sure you covered this last night. I mean, this is what happens, I guess, when you're out of ideas and you realize you're losing the generational and demographic battle in the country, right?
Yes, you smear Hillary Clinton, who you love, to elect Chris Christie, who you hate.
Yes, exactly. Yesterday, Virginia Republicans took the first step to move a GOP plan to rig the Electoral College forward in that state. Similar plans under consideration in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The Republican election rigging plan targets blue states that President Obama won in 2008 and 2012 and changes the way they allocate electoral votes to give many of these votes away for free to the Republican candidate for president. Under the Republican plan, most electoral votes will be allocated to the winner of the individual congressional districts rather than the winner of the state as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fair, because the Republican plan would be implemented in states that are heavily gerrymandered to favor Republicans. The resulting maps would all but guarantee the Republican would win a majority of each state's electoral votes, even if the Democratic candidate wins the state as a whole.
How is that legal?
Right. To which, you go, much as during the Bush administration, you go, can they do that? And I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But
states make their own electoral college rules according to the Constitution.
Right. So I'm not sure John, you were saying before the break, I'm not sure how the caller, she seemed to draw a line to that in the filibuster reform, which I'm not sure what that has to do with that.
I think those are two separate issues.
She's picking two different things that Harry Reid's going to cave on.
Okay. There's the thread.
Okay. All right.
The third one being the assault weapons ban, which he is going to cave on.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that in a moment. Here's the story I was looking for. See, Republican retreat kicks off rocky start. That's the thing. When you cannot win on the issues, this is, I guess, what you have to do. I mean, literally, is that their only plan? Cheat? Let's see if we can cheat and win.
Yeah. Well, it's worked so far.
House Republicans regrouping in an image makeover retreat in Williamsburg, Virginia this week. A session for lawmakers called Discussion of Successful Communication with Minorities and Women. See, that tells you right there what their problem is with minorities and women.
Yeah.
They have to have seminars entitled Discussion on Successful Communication with Minorities and Women.
Yep.
Which will take place in the Burwell Plantation Room at the resort where the retreat is being held. It turns out the room is named after the Burwell family, a wealthy family that owned many slaves in 18th century South
America. Wow. And the location itself is a former plantation where slaves were kept.
Yep. Unbelievable.
So,
well played,
right,
gentlemen.
Nicely
well played.
Nice symbolism, yeah.
Well, you heard about the New Mexico bill that was put forth by a New Mexico Republican. Her original concept for the bill was for any woman who was raped and then became pregnant. You heard about this,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
Yep.
That she could face up to 3 years in jail for evidence tampering if she terminated the pregnancy.
Wow.
And so after she got the outcry, she still introduced the bill but made it that the rapist would be go to jail for evidence tampering if the woman aborted his rapist baby, along with the doctor who performed the procedure, but not the woman. And this came out the same day Reince Priebus' comments about how to appeal the RNC to a much broader base of Americans were released.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's incredible, John, the stuff they say out loud, you know? Remember the memo they put out basically bragging about stealing...
Yeah.
The House from Democrats, despite Democrats getting over a million more votes than Republicans did.
And the only thing standing in their way is you know, the Democratic willingness to let them do it. So it depends state to state who's going to fight them.
They keep repeating that line. Well, the American people, you know, reelected a House majority. No, they didn't.
No, more Democrats got votes than Republicans this year.
Yes, exactly my point.
Oh, why should that matter?
Byron in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Byron.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, two things. If McConnell had a 52-vote majority in the Senate, would we still have a filibuster? Would he have shaken Reid's hand? And the second thing, I think he looks more like the guy from Hannibal who ate part of his face than a turtle.
That's why we need filibuster. Got his face eaten? No, he doesn't.
By the pigs?
Oh, no. Not that again.
This is why we need to bring back the talking filibuster, Harry Reid, so you can force Mitch McConnell to block a vote by making him stand on the Senate floor and read 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Imagine how long that would take.
Well, they probably have to make the House whip do that.
I see what you did there, because it's about SNL.
I can see where you're going with that.
Oh, my God, John Fugelsang. You know what? You just slipped me those jokes, and you don't even tell me I'm pretty first.
I'm back on coffee.
I didn't even know you slipped it to me. Christina in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Christina.
Hi. I have advice for Ron Johnson and Rand Paul. They need to get out of denial. Their whole party is just going down, and that's why... Place going to go. They're in Ellen State. John Barrasso really embarrassed himself by going on Stossel last night. Mm-hmm. That's the worst show you can go on. And they had an impersonator of our president talk about embarrassing themselves. And it's like they have an impersonator dressing up like Obama saying what they want him to say. I think it's very strange.
Yeah.
And they've been talking about Murdoch and that other guy from Missouri that
Aiken.
Messed up the anti-science
people. The rapey Republicans, right.
Yeah, saying that might have been a problem. They don't realize how strange and weird that is in Rick Santorum's wife, married that older doctor when she was a teenager. You know, all these people don't believe in science, and it's just really strange to everybody else. I think they need to know that.
Yes, and of course, as you heard, John, Frothy Santorum, has called the president a sore winner.
Yeah.
Since the election, and I'm not really even certain
for giving
that's
a speech.
What that means.
Yeah.
For giving a liberal speech and appointing a lot of conservative cabinet members, he's a sore winner.
For talking about the issues that he ran and won on, I guess that was just...
Exactly right. And you know what? I have a lot of respect for our pro-life brothers and sisters. God bless. You want to use the legislative process to outlaw abortion rights, that's your right as a free citizen. However, we don't have an abortion problem in this country. We have an unwanted pregnancy problem and an abortion symptom. Mm-hmm. And the question that has to be asked of every politician and person that wants to strip Roe versus Wade, which, by the way, is now supported by over 70% of Americans officially, you have to ask them one question. Do women who terminate pregnancies deserve to be in jail? Ask them all and make every politician give a yes or no answer on it. And that's how you get to the end of this.
Yeah, but she's right. They're still in denial. Mitch McConnell said of the president's inaugural speech, he said, you know, it was a blast of liberalism at a country we still believe is center-right. Okay, believe that Lawrence O'Donnell's going to marry me. But
Mitch McConnell needs to go through the list and tell us exactly which parts of the speech America disagrees with, because it was actually a very popular speech that reflects the will of this country. The Democrats are the ones who need to be pulled to the center by the people.
Yep, exactly. Let's go to Janice in Madison. You're on with John. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
Hi.
I have to express a little, not dismay, but I'd like to, one line for John Fugelsang. Welcome to my world.
What do you mean?
I'm in Wisconsin, and I am currently in the process of liquidating everything and leaving because I'm so fed up with the Paul Ryan, the Ron Paul, Ron Johnson, Scott Walker. I'm done.
To meet Tammy Baldwin in Washington. You have to stay just for Tammy Baldwin.
Ben, there's a lot of great progressive people.
I will support her from Louisiana. I'm not staying.
Louisiana?
Well, they have Bobby Jindal.
That's worse.
Listen, if you're going to leave Wisconsin, blame it on the weather.
I'm bigger than Bobby Jindal. I can kick his ass.
Well, then.
I have no worry there. He's a little bit more
Well, then you can kick Paul Ryan's ass.
I got to tell you.
When you're moving to Louisiana to get more progressive, that's
your
trouble.
I respect your... They have more fun down there, but I respect your decision. However, I got to say, don't leave. If you want to leave because of the weather, not because of the politicians. Yeah. There are so many wonderful, progressive, and moderate, and just plain old anti-evil people in Madison, and all of Wisconsin. That's where the Sexy Liberal Tour began.
Yeah.
That's where our founding fathers first did a teabagging demonstration on stage.
Thank you.
Don't want to give up. They need you there. We need cool people in the Midwest.
Yeah.
We need cool people in the cities. We need cool people in the South.
Don't be hypnotized by that BP commercial with the people sitting on the beach arguing about whether Mississippi's... whatever
I can't decide if Mississippi's better. Is Mississippi better since BP spilled their oil? No, Alabama's better since Mississippi. You both are wrong. Texas is better than ever since BP spilled their oil.
And the seafood is delicious.
The seafood is delicious.
They're sitting around a shrimp cocktail that nobody's eating.
Yeah.
this tuna tastes great, and the car runs on it, too.
None of them look like they missed a meal, but I'm just saying.
It is the South.
The thanks, BP, for fouling our Gulf commercial.
Look, there's green things in the commercial. Oh!
Ooh, a green pinwheel. Ooh. That means it's all clean.
Corrects it. My favorite seafood.
I get a free thing of Androgel if I go to Mississippi? Awesome. Steve in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
The filibuster, you know, we're all disappointed in the Harry Reid, what he was able to work out regarding the filibuster. We'd all like to hear the senators have to actually voice their opinions on the issues. But I think that there's a much bigger problem. I listen to a lot of talk radio, progressive talk radio, and I think that the big problem, and nobody wants to talk about it, you know, and you hate playing the race card, but the biggest problem is that they don't like working for an African American president.
That's not the biggest problem.
The bottom line is, you know, Joe Biden was able to get through exactly the same tax deal that the president presented to Mitch McConnell.
The same deal. How about if the white guy says it? Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. I know. I hear you. I mean, John, you can't deny that there has been, I mean, and I'm not saying all of it, but man, there has been just unprecedented disrespect for this president and the office. What we were saying, since when did George W. Bush didn't go to the inauguration? Mitt Romney didn't go to the inauguration. It's, you know.
But they haven't impeached him for his private life. They haven't called his wife a lesbian. They haven't accused him of murder yet. Yes, it's not so much contempt for the president. They have plenty of that, and there's no doubt there's plenty of them are racist, no doubt. Yeah. And there's no doubt some of them who aren't racist are trying to appeal to racists back home in their voting block. But the fact is their contempt is reserved for the working class and the middle class of America, because that's who they keep choosing to hurt time and time again. Not Barack Obama. He's set for life. These guys choose to hurt you. They choose to hurt the non-millionaire community.
You don't mean lesbian like a bad thing, right?
Did I say lesbian?
Yes. Okay.
I believe the president is a speciesist. He doesn't like turtles.
Okay. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally. Talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I see. You left out the part.
Well,
about,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Okay, fine. 50. Wait, let's do that. Go do it amongst yourselves. Okay, sure. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugle saying in the New York Bureau.
Good morning.
Wow, you don't see a headline like this every day. Mitt Romney to be honored in D.C. today for
What?
Exactly. What?
A loser?
For not showing up for the inauguration?
Right. He will attend a luncheon in his honor at the J.W. Marriott Hotel given by Bill Marriott Jr., hotel guy.
Oh, you mean the hotel on whose board he resides?
Right. And yeah. Right.
So there won't be any Republicans honoring him, right? They're not going to come out for him. So far, the only friend he has in D.C. is Barack Obama, who bought him lunch.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, we bought him lunch, so Mitt Romney gets free stuff.
Moocher, 47%er. Okay, let's get to...
I was very jealous that you got to be at the inauguration, by the way.
Really?
Very, very jealous of you guys.
Oh, I know. You had to go back and work.
Such a good time with you guys on Saturday. It was so wonderful and magical to be in D.C. this weekend. And
it was.
The whole city was just a party. It was just full of just happy people. They might have all been drunk. I don't know. But
right,
they're just happy people all weekend.
Yeah.
And then to watch it, I mean, it was great. I was doing the live coverage with Governor Granholm in New York for Current Force.
We watched you.
Yeah, you were awesome.
It was really... It was just... It looked like it was such a joyful event. And, everyone's all angry about Beyonce fake singing, and no one's mad about her extensions, which I think is a bit hypocritical. But it was really, really wonderful. And did you guys have fun? Was it fun to be there?
Oh, it was awesome. It was unbelievable. We were saying it's like prom weekend for political geeks like us, but it was really, and who knew we'd have fun spending that much time together? But we did.
It was great. I got to hang out with Jackie Schechner and Roland, and it was like all my favorite people who live 3,000 miles.
All your besties, exactly.
Yay.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of Beyonce, she's very disappointed by the lip-syncing controversy. Disappointed!
She is?
Pardon me? Yeah, well,
why is she disappointed?
Well, we were all saying this yesterday. I don't see what the big deal is. She says she's disappointed, saying she feels a technicality, which everybody does, took away from the beauty of the moment. She thought it was more important that she was blood doping. I'm just kidding. Yeah, see, I use it. Okay.
James Taylor played guitar and sang, and it was all
she
live.
She used a backing track, but explained this is completely normal for an outdoor performance. You said that yesterday.
Well, yeah,
Chris.
I mean, it was cold.
Insisted she also sang parts of the song live. She said she didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Pavarotti's done it. It was freezing out, and if she messed up one note, that would have been the story.
Yeah.
Everybody uses these tracks, and the music director advised it. Any big outdoor live performance is almost always with some kind of track. She did sing, but she used a track. So, yeah, I didn't get what the big deal was. Did you, John?
I have no problem with it. No, I mean, Whitney Houston lip-synced the national anthem at a Super Bowl, and it became a number one single. But the fact is, I have no problem with people lip-syncing at free events. My problem is when you're charging admission for a concert and you're lip-syncing and you don't tell your audience they're actually seeing a mime.
But it sounds like,
looking at you, new kids, looking at you.
It sounds like she wasn't lip-syncing. She was just listening to the track to sing along with. So she was actually singing live.
So it was
the band wasn't playing live.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did sing parts. I don't get it. I lip sync this entire show every morning. I'm not here. I'm home drunk. This is CGI. If you're watching on TV, right?
Sure.
I tell the same stupid stories over and over because I'm so old.
Yeah, because Stephanie
fakes everything, folks. She fakes everything. Trust me.
Yeah, we have a massive CGI budget on this show.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go to Bob in Wyoming. You're on with John. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Thanks for providing the breath of fresh air to us out in Republican Wyoming.
Why? Thank you.
Hey, two quick things. If the intelligence of the teabagging party is exemplified in the likes of the party twins Ron Johnson and Ron Paul, we either shouldn't have to have a problem or we ought to be scared.
Yeah, either way. Oh, Rand. Rand, Rand, Rand. Oh, by the way, guess who I missed in D.C.?
Who?
Orly Tate.
Yeah.
Rolla and I were walking through there, though, and we heard someone say, where's Orly? Because I'm like, oh, I'd be the only person at the inauguration to have my picture taken with Joe Biden and Orly Tate.
And
Newt
Gingrich.
If I could have found her.
And Newt Gingrich.
Did I tell you that, John? That's why
no.
I love America. I just watched the president being re-inaugurated and getting on Air Force One, and then Newt and Callista were in coach on my flight to Charlotte.
Wow.
I love America.
I guess those speaking engagements aren't that huge now that you've wrecked the Republican primary.
I walked by and said, not bad for a food stamp president, huh, Nudie?
Now, in fairness, when he said that was just a dog whistle to the douchebag belt of voters in America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He had nailed down the douche nozzle vote, as I recall.
He certainly had.
Yeah.
Can I give a plug?
Yes.
Tonight on Viewpoint, we're going to have Representative John Conyers.
Awesome.
Which I'm really thrilled about. Love him. We've had a lot of congresspeople. Loretta Sanchez was on last night. We're going to have a discussion on the torture element of Zero Dark 30. And we're going to have David Clossy of the Survivors Network of Abuse by Priests of SNAP talking about the revelations about Cardinal Mahoney this week. And it's going to be funny, too.
By the by, we're going to try to get Catherine Bigelow on. She wrote a piece, I don't know if you saw it in the LA Times, John, but she said, I mean, Roland thinks it's the best film he's ever seen. He thinks it does not glorify torture. I only saw part of it and I fell asleep, so I'm going to watch the whole thing.
I don't think it glorifies torture at all.
But I thought it was interesting what she wrote. She said, I don't personally believe torture led to the capture of bin Laden. She said, but to do a film about that entire era without including it as part of what went on.
Well, I think she's exactly right. You have to include the torture. The problem is people are going to see this movie and think that torture led directly to getting bin Laden because that's what happens in the movie.
Right.
The only character in the movie to ever speak out against torture is Barack Obama on a 60 Minutes clip the characters watch on TV in one scene. There's a great scene where an Obama official tells off a CIA guy over Iraq in a hallway, and it's a terrific film. Everyone should see it. She's probably the best action director working right now, and the last 45 minutes is riveting. But the fact is, it's like Merchant of Venice with Shiloh. You got a great story and a real problem in your storytelling that makes it not work.
Yeah.
Because the film directly makes it seem
problem.
They found out about the chauffeur from torture.
Right, exactly. Like Jim said, it's like it made it seem like Dick Cheney was like the technical advisor that, because we got bin Laden and torture happened in that, time period.
And it's great that she made a film about torture and that shows what our tax dollars were paying for. Don't forget, it was Ronald Reagan who signed the ban on torture. But
however,
in this movie, no one ever stands up and says, hey, man, this is wrong.
The conspiracy theory out here in Hollywood, in case you'd like to know, is that Steven Spielberg is behind all the controversy because he wants Lincoln to win over Zero Dark 30.
Yeah, that's par for the course. That's just, Oscar politicking.
Yeah. Wow.
But, exactly.
But I also love that she directed a movie about skydiving bank robbers.
Which one was that?
You Point Break.
The FBI wants to pay me to serve. I love anything with Patrick Swayze, but I love that. He got the Reagan mask. It was awesome.
Yes.
You mean the FBI is going to pay me to serve?
Whoa. Most heinous.
Isn't that how it ends, right? Keanu Reeves lets what right Patrick
yes.
Swayze
yeah.
go surfing and presumably kill himself. I don't. It's
well,
weird.
There he goes again.
It's weird. It's just
hey,
weird.
I'm performing tomorrow night at the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis,
awesome.
Along with Tom Hartman and Ed Schultz. Come
Yay!
On down if you're there and freezing.
Yeah. Because you weren't busy enough. We love you, John Buglesang.
No life. I love you all. Great job last weekend again, Steph.
Thank you, honey. Nappy time for John now. See you with Tina Dupuy next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. We have all the pictures up from Inauguration Week, I believe.
Yes. Everything you sent me.
Right. Just everything I had because
yep.
I was...
drunk.
Yes, most of the time. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Guess who else was there?
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy. Tina Dupuy is brilliant, she's funny, she's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, hello, good morning, Tina Dupuy.
Stephanie, how are you?
Good, how are you? So great to see you in D.C. in Poison.
Yes, I'm still recovering.
Yes, me too. I can tell you're on the same 7 brain cell delay that I am.
it's so much. So much formal wear and so many lines to stand in.
I know.
You and Carl went to the big inauguration ball, didn't
right.
you? Inaugural ball?
We went to the big inaugural ball, and
yeah.
then the following day we went to the staff ball. So
right.
it was like Obama kept on following us around.
Right.
Speeches all over the place.
He's very clingy. I know.
I was like, the dude is stalking me.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl Frisch tweeted about it. Even the gay boys brag about hitting on you, which is weird. But I see what all the boys go crazy about. You are just as delightful and lovely in person as you are on the radio.
Oh, I say the same thing about you, Stephanie.
Oh.
It's not your face.
Oh, Tina. Now, it was really an amazing week, wasn't it? We were saying I actually did do more in the last 5 days than I've done in the last 5 years, so I am not going to come out of my house again now for 5 years. But it's amazing, right? I don't know how you pack for anything back east if you live there. There's formal wear, and I don't know, there's hats involved and gloves. It's really... really
no, it's pretty daunting. You know, I had long johns and cocktail dresses, and someone was like, "Are you going to Seattle?"
exactly.
It's a thing. But speaking of the weather, see, the last time I saw you, it was hours before Hurricane Sandy hit.
That's
and then
right.
you went back to the West Coast.
Yes.
And now we're having this cold streak because you left the East Coast.
That's right.
So,
that's right. I take all the warmth. All right.
Right.
Thank you, Tina.
It gets horrible. It gets bleak. As soon as you leave our coast, it gets really, really bleak.
I apologize. Now, Tina, what about the president's speech, huh? That the inaugural speech, it made all the wrong people mad, right? All the right people mad, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, the right people. I was very cold when I heard it, so I think it was fantastic.
Right.
I'm not quite sure. But the word Stonewall was really, really
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah.
That, you know, wow. And he talked about things that, he's been reputed to be this, this communist socialist Kenyan.
Right.
It's about time he finally gives a speech that's somewhat liberal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled with it. And a lot of people said what you just said. They're like, wow, I did not see Stonewall coming. I mean, despite the fact that it's the first American president that's ever said the word gay in an inaugural address. I mean, it was.
Right.
Yeah. And climate change.
Yeah, those were two big things. And as much as we, give the president hell, and which we should keep him accountable for everything he does. He has not closed Guantanamo, hello. But there are things that, like,
they were trying for 60 years to get health care reform passed, and he finally did it. Yep. And while it is not perfect, it happened. You know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is no longer there. The Little Ledbetter Act, like everything that we could go through and say that, like, and even women in the military. I mean, this didn't get a lot of play, but women in the military serving overseas could not get access to an abortion if they were raped by their fellow soldiers.
Yeah.
This was a huge story that I have been talking to women who will go, activists who will go into places like Chile and other places where abortion is criminalized, that they would get the majority of their phone calls were not only from American women, but from female soldiers serving overseas that did not have access to abortion. And that changed under this president.
Well, you know, it's interesting because obviously this debate now about women in combat has come up, and we were sitting next to Nicole Boxer, Robert Boxer's daughter.
Yeah.
Chris and I were lucky enough to get invited to Senator Boxer's private luncheon after the inauguration, and she has a film called The Invisible War, mm-hmm. which we're going to have her on about. You know, it's an Academy Award nominated documentary, but I didn't even know it. 1/3 of military women have been sexually assaulted, roughly twice the civilian figure. If they want to look at gender problems in the Army, they want to start there, right?
Right. And up until very recently, there was, you know, basically you would, you know, if you happen to get pregnant from one of these assaults, then you were basically assaulted twice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we were saying that obviously Leon Panetta said, I mean, women are going to, they have to meet the same standards as men to go into these jobs. So it seems to me like you brought up Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're hearing a lot of the same arguments, aren't we?
Pretty much. I mean, but like, there's a lot of men who don't meet the physical requirements to be a Marine.
Right.
And I mean, we talk about this all the time, you know, a lot of people are now too fat to fight. I mean, so it's, you know, yeah, women are going to have to be physically strong enough to be able to do that, but that doesn't mean that no women are going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm in much better shape than half the dudes at my gym. So let's do that, people.
Listen, I can attest to that. I saw you in a ball gown. Now, here's my favorite Wall Street Journal. Women shouldn't be in combat because men poop. So this is a new argument that I had not yet heard. An opinion piece. Did you see this?
No.
Yes. Women.
But the Wall Street Journal is always at the forefront of the ridiculous.
Right.
So,
right. It's an op-ed by former Marine infantryman Ryan Smith. He says women shouldn't serve in combat because social norms would make it humiliating for men. He argued that since Soldier had to, quote, defecate inches from his seated comrade's face during his tour in Iraq.
What?
Women, what?
Yeah.
Women could not be permitted in combat because it would humiliate men.
Oh, are men really that squeamish?
He said it is humiliating. He writes, it is humiliating enough to relieve yourself in front of your male comrades. One can only imagine the humiliation of being forced to relieve yourself in front of the opposite sex. Despite the professionalism of Marines, it would be distracting and potentially traumatizing to be forced to be naked in front of the opposite sex, particularly when your body has been ravaged by lack of hygiene. Well, that will mark the first time a man's been concerned about hygiene.
For the sensitivity of Marines.
Yeah.
Wow. That's I'm sorry, but is that necessary? Do you have to, in combat, do you have to poop right next to people?
Well, if you have dysentery and you're in a foxhole, you don't have many options. There's not a lot of privacy.
Wow.
Can we just use the phrase soldier up?
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, yeah. Grow up here.
Listen, it's been a while since I've been with a man, but I don't remember one of them ever closing the bathroom door, so I don't remember one of them ever being shy about that. Oh, really, honey? Come on. Now,
very sage point.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We combine the Mensa meeting with the fart jokes here. All right. Tina, you wrote, as you tend to do, a fabulous column entitled The Truth Is You're Still a Jerk, Lance. And you tied together just sort of lying in general. As you said, you quoted yourself, you said you joked at during the Romney campaign that he was single-handedly trying to kill all the fact checkers from exhaustion. But, I mean, there is an interesting thread, right, lies and the lying liars that tell them, as Al Franken would say.
Right. Well, we had like this kind of suspended reality campaign, right, where like, you know, Herman Cain was the front runner and then Michelle Bachmann warned us about the Soviet Union and, and, you know, There and Romney kind of had the, you know, he would go. There was, I think it was the first debate where he said under his plan, pre-existing conditions would be covered, and that was like he was actually lying about his own plan that they had to set the record straight later. I mean, it was just everyone kind of just really made stuff up out of whole cloth, and then it kind of like the effigy of it was Karl Rove on Fox News going, no, 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 it's too soon to call, when, you know, clearly the game was over and Obama won by a landslide, especially by Rovian standards, which is a whole other thing. So then you have Lance Armstrong, who is a schmuck on a very, very redeemable day. And he comes out and he's candid about, you know, he didn't come out with and say everything, but he did admit to a lot of the things that he had been accused of for many, many years. And so, you know, I said that should mean something, like, you know, that should, you know, honesty should be rewarded at some facet. However, we should maybe find a less repugnant personality to test that theory out on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's going to be in a whole world of hurt now. What did I say yesterday? A new class action lawsuit from people that bought his book, because, of course, his book was based on a lie. It was all about the, you know, the story of overcoming cancer and winning the Tour de France without any help from doping, right?
Right. It's now been moved to the fiction section of the book. So I think that's good.
Yes, that's what. And Jim always helpfully moves Ann Coulter's books to the fiction section and then draws a Hitler mustache.
That would be horror section. Come on,
yes. Tina Dupuy, great stuff as always, and it was lovely and delightful to see you in person in D.C. Let's do it again soon.
Definitely. Thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, all right, there she goes, columnist Tina Dupuy.
And she's with thecontributor.com.
There you go.
Need I mention she's also smoking hot?
Yes. Which,
well, there's a picture of her. There's a picture of her up on your website.
Yeah,
Stephanie.
I think we've covered that.
Yeah.
Okay. So noted. Thank you, counselor. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Becky, the official seamstress of the Stephanie Miller Show, Gling, says, Steph, laugh so hard at your Metro story with Chris. I was with my four sons this Christmas in D.C. They're all grown up. Blah, blah, blah. At some point, they decided we would all take the Metro to the mall, even though I know McClutz and I'd make a mess of it. So much so that one of my boys refused to go with us and took another route on the Metro. Ugh. Sure enough, I couldn't figure out how to do the tickets, and they kept nudging me and saying, Mom, Mom, Mom. And the line behind me kept growing. Finally, they got me on, and we did it. And then they put me in a cab to take me home. That's me. I'm completely useless without Chris to handle me and produce my life.
That system they have of sticking your ticket in and taking it out every time, that's a little cumbersome.
How much money do I need to put in here? I don't understand.
Yeah. It's a little
cumbersome. I don't understand why you have to put the ticket in when you get out of the thing. I don't understand.
Well, so that it knows how far you travel and knows
I'm
how much
LA.
To take on.
I didn't even know we had trains. Okay.
We have subways here that I take quite a lot.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Jeff writes
I've taken it exactly once. Well, twice if you count the trip home. I saw a basketball game with Carlos a couple years ago.
Oh, don't you have to go somewhere very specific?
If you're going from North Hollywood to downtown and back, you're
fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're screwed.
You can go to Long Beach. You can go
to
Colorado.
Who wants to go to Long Beach? Yeah. For what
a
reason?
Have you been to downtown Long Beach? It's really nice down there.
No. Okay.
Culver City?
I've been.
You can go to Culver City on the train?
Culver City? For God's sakes, really?
You said to the people who work at Current?
Yeah.
No, it's lovely. It's just we had to work there at the old radio station.
We spent a lot of time there.
That's
not really that Culver City.
Yeah, that's kind of the butt crack area of L.A.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Jeff writes, Steph and Company, all these myths people are coughing up hairball-like as excuses why women shouldn't be in combat reminds me of when I was doing college radio. It was an established fact that women couldn't be DJs. Everybody knew it. Men didn't like women announcers. Even women didn't like women announcers. And by cracky, they had the research to prove it. Of course, a few years later, we saw the emergence of people like Allison Steele and Bonnie Simmons, and a few years after that, some desperate station in Western New York even gave a job to
Stephanie Miller.
All right.
And by the way, the talk about being sort of naked and crapping in front of pooing. People and all that.
Because men poo.
Well, we did that. It's called Woodstock.
Right. People and men and women
were naked and, you know,
pooing. Yeah.
Taking a bath in a lake and squatting in the forest. That was pretty much,
right.
You know.
The military services said they would begin
it's
a sweeping.
It's just without the drugs or the music.
Right. Begin a sweeping review of the physical requirements. At the same time, they acknowledged that women have been fighting and dying in Iraq and Afghanistan for more than a decade. Leon Panetta said not everyone is going to be able to be a combat soldier, but everyone is entitled to a chance.
As I said, Tammy Duckworth didn't lose her legs playing hacky sack.
No,
she was flying a combat aircraft with guns and rockets on it.
Speaking of awesome women, Dianne Feinstein yesterday introduced the assault weapons ban, reintroduced the ban that she had obviously originally introduced.
I was the one that found Supervisor Milk's body. And I was the one that put a finger in a bullet hole trying to get a pulse. Once you have been through one of these episodes, once you see what the crime scene is like, it isn't like the movies. It changes your view of weapons.
Oddly, the NRA, not supportive, which I know is big news to nobody. They called the effort disappointing. Disappointing. They are disappointing. But not surprised. They are, yes. But not surprised. Oh, isn't that? I'm sure that hurts her the most.
Oh, sure.
That they are disappointed in her.
Disappointed!
Senator Feinstein has been trying to ban guns from law-abiding citizens for decades.
Computer says no.
No. No. It's disappointing, but not surprising.
Disappointed!
That she is once again focused on curtailing the Constitution.
Computer says no.
Instead of prosecuting criminals.
Computer says no.
Or fixing our broken mental health system.
Computer says no.
Okay.
You know who wrecked the health system was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might want to load the liar cannon for the rest of this. The American people know gun bans do not work. Oh.
The question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
Okay. Congress will reject Senator Feinstein's wrong-headed approach. Obviously, a lot of people think that part is true, but I hope not. Senator Feinstein yesterday.
No weapon is taken from anyone. The purpose is to dry up the supply of these weapons over time.
My formerly Republican sister wrote a great letter to her Republican representative in Virginia about this. About just this is... Because it really is, when you go through one at a time, the president's proposals, they make sense, I think, to any normal, sensible person.
Yeah.
That this should not be partisan. Senator Feinstein again.
The message to Democrats is see what your silence does. There will be more of these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was, my sister was talking to British friends that just don't understand it. After Newtown, they said, I don't understand why this continues to happen
not
in America, and you don't do
England,
anything
it's
about
all
it.
Around the world. Said,
right.
What is wrong with you people?
Well, they just happen to have British friends. But anyway, Senator Feinstein again.
If anyone asks today, can you win this? The answer is, we don't know. It's so uphill.
Which is just sad. When it's just, you know, my sister was going through one thing after another, going, why on earth wouldn't you be for this? A sensible background check. Why wouldn't you be for just, I mean, all of the stuff, when you look at it, when you take the politics out of it, it just seems to make common sense. Chuck Schumer yesterday.
Assault weapons were designed for and should be used on our battlefields, not on our streets.
And my new best friend, Vice President Joe Biden.
Make your voices heard. This outfit, this town listens when people rise up and speak.
That's what I was whispering in his ear. I gave him that line. Just kidding. Okay. There is a picture of me whispering in his ear, though.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
What were you whispering?
That. I said, here's what I think you should say.
All right.
The gun thing. Okay, Becky in Minneapolis, you're on the stuff.
That's a big effing deal.
Right. I think that would be a big effing deal if you said that. Becky in Minneapolis. Hi, Beck.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I'd like to say something to Chris first.
Chris!
Hello!
My son the other day turned on a YouTube to Epic Cat Failures. It was hilarious.
Epic Cat Failures, okay.
There goes my weekend.
No, but I wanted to make a couple comments.
Sorry, 20 seconds. Go ahead. Real quick.
What's been going on? Those idiots that were questioning Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Do they have brains?
No.
And number two, did Harry Reid, when has the Republican ever honored a handshake agreement in the last 7 years.
No, that's a good point. Never. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Something weird happened in Florida.
What?
We'll talk to Jackie next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gorgeous day, Mr. Sun.
It's always a nice day with
Stephanie Miller.
Aw. Except the sun's not out.
No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we all miss each other so much since we all lived in the dorm together in D.C. earlier this week. Yay. Hi, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
How you holding up?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay, you had a long morning.
We're all jet lagged.
I did have a long morning. I forgot how brutal this marathon schedule is overnight.
Yeah, right?
I've been spoiled.
Exactly. Although, we had to call you back to service. Why? Because something happened in Florida.
Oh, there's a shocker.
Something weird happened in Florida.
There's a surprise.
I have to say, you are a connoisseur, being from Florida, Miami girl. This one may top all of the previous Florida headlines. Let's see.
If it doesn't have Rick Scott in it, then it's not at the top of the heap, but it could be close.
Well, okay. Naked intruder pooped and masturbated in a Florida home, according to the cops.
Oh, so you have that's to like say. A Tuesday.
Yeah, that's a Tuesday Gainesville.
Reading from the Huffington Post, in Florida, there are violent people, naked people, poopers, and masturbators. Rarely is one man the total package. However, yes, here he is. When Tony and LaDonna Land discovered a naked carnival worker.
A carny.
Yeah. A carny, okay.
This just combines everything I love.
Naked carny in Florida.
Wow. On their roof.
Oh, okay.
Who hasn't found a naked carny on their roof once or twice?
I'm guessing meth was involved if it's Florida.
Something.
Yeah.
Bath salt, something like that.
Yeah. The night had just begun.
That's the beginning of the night.
Right. Bruni, 21, allegedly assaulted Tony Land, trashed the couple's North Fort Myers home, then defecated and masturbated inside the house, according to the...
Ugh.
At the same time? Ugh.
No, it was all, it was like a string of events.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. Well, that's all right then.
It's like you thought that was bad.
It hardly makes it worth it to do this story. This is just, police arrest intoxicated zombie shouter.
What?
I mean, you got raised.
She's shouting at zombies. You do.
This is in Clarksville, Tennessee. They're no Florida.
Oh. He is a zombie and he's shouting.
No, they arrested a man who stumbled around a woman's yard repeatedly yelling zombies.
Again, bath salts.
Bath salts.
Yes. Well, actually, he smelled strongly of alcohol.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he's
that
a fan
redefines
of
a bad drunk, huh?
Yeah.
Well, see, this is drunk.
You get angry? Do you fall asleep? No, I yell about zombies.
Right.
Good to know.
This is why I do drunk stat, because it makes me feel like less of a
drunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because you guys have been with me a lot. Have I ever started yelling about zombies? No.
No, you just fall asleep.
Yeah, I fall asleep either in Jackie's lap or telling Jim how much I love him.
Or you fall asleep on my friend Jeff.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm a cuddly drunk. I'm a sleepy, cuddly little drunk. All right, and then
that was the zombies who did that song.
Jackie, as you know, I have to do at least one story a day about people with a worse sex life than mine.
Okay.
Nurse accused of sex acts with a corpse.
Again.
This someone might be harder up than me. In rigor mortis, in fact, that's hard. You know what I'm saying? Because that's. Jackie might be too sleepy for this.
I think so.
A nurse.
No, I'm listening. I'm a little mortified, but go ahead.
A nurse was arrested for committing a sex act with a corpse at a hospital. This is here in L.A. I was trying to make you feel better. Not
naughty
every
nurses.
Weird story is from Miami. someone at the San Fernando Valley Hospital reported seeing her engaged in a sex act with a body.
Oh, God.
Investigators have not disclosed whether the body was that of a man or a woman.
Oh. Would that make a difference?
Does it matter? Yeah.
It does, yes.
Really?
At this point, does it matter?
You need to be like, oh, well, now that's really gross.
Exactly. Like her sexual preference is an issue at that point.
Was it just, no, I'm not going to
All right.
Oh, yeah. So decomposed, you couldn't tell?
Oh,
at least you want to be fresh, you know, if you're going to be.
Oh, he did not just say that. He just went all Gary Bauer on our
Gary Bauer. Mm. I love zombies and dead patients in their hospital.
It's because he looks like Peter Lorre.
He looks like Peter Lorre. Jackie, that's why that's, we feel
I
that's...
Yeah, yeah, you lost me.
Yeah, yeah, that was... Sorry. Wow, that was a bit that we did 12 years ago.
I was going to say that was a little bit before my time.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, we're just bringing the stragglers along. Sorry. Okay. All right, and this one, I'm guessing, is a listener to my show. This may be based on me.
All right.
A window display featuring a well-dressed inflatable doll lying in bed surrounded by empty bottles of wine and pills.
That's you.
It's creating controversy. You never send me flowers anymore, the message reads on the window.
Wait, where was it?
I'm guessing it's in a flower store, right? The point is to get people... The owner said the display is aimed at encouraging people to send flowers and make someone happy on Valentine's Day.
Wow. All right, where is this?
In Coburn, Virginia.
Oh.
Doesn't say what kind of store, I'm guessing. What the owner said, what we're trying to say is this poor girl is in her bed drinking her wine and taking pills to forget it's Valentine's Day because no one sent
But it's
flowers.
An inflatable sex doll?
Wow. Right. No, it's an inflatable doll. It's just a doll that's lying in bed.
Well, what other
it's like
kind
a window
of...
display. Like they use a right. mannequin or some right. variation right. thereof.
But what other kind of doll, inflatable doll is there besides a
I don't.
Sex dwarf, isn't it nice?
Listen, enough about what your private life is like.
Well, I mean,
there are other inflatable dolls besides sex. Yes.
Show me one.
I don't. This is not my area of expertise.
If the mannequin is mixing booze and pills, maybe they're sending flowers for the funeral.
Sex dolls don't go for booze and dope.
Not on Broadway.
Exactly. All right.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of home.
All right, that's enough.
Oh, you can crawl back to Broadway.
Jackie Shepner. What do you make
of... excellent segment of hard-hitting news.
Yes.
Right. I'm segueing now. Here I go. Segueing to hard-hitting news, Jackie Shepner.
My credibility is
Don't you love the... don't you feel like we're having a flashback with women in combat to gays in the military? Just these, all these same... I don't... Because men poop, we can't... Have women
yeah,
in combat?
I mean, look,
what?
At this point, it's just a technicality because women's been serving alongside
been, yeah.
men in dangerous combat roles for, well, not technically combat roles, but, you know, obviously roles on the front line
well,
for a while.
Remember
so.
The, right. during the beginning of the Iraq War when they were at the big compound, there's girls in bikinis with the assault rifles over their shoulders because they might be called on to go out and defend the place and were on occasion.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing
on
that.
On our side?
Yes.
Mary Jane in California wants to chime in on this. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to talk to you about this because I joined the National Guard in 1978 to go for my nursing career. And at that time, they were putting women through just like men in basic training. That was the first time they had tried it.
Uh-huh.
They had they didn't have the big coats that would keep us warm. This was January in South Carolina. There were no glove liners or boots for women. They were, you know, poorly equipped, to say the least. There was a very bad attitude toward us being there that we had to deal with a lot. They showed us a movie on rape and how very carefully we must be on military bases, then handed us an empty flashlight and sent us out in the dark.
Oy.
Wow.
Oy. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. And women have always been in combat. They just haven't been paid for it.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Well, that's the thing. Jackie, it's insulting to the women that have died in combat.
She's being
already.
Screened again because you hung up on her.
Who?
Jackie.
Oh, I hung up on Jackie.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I see what you mean because I need to do the thing before I answer another call. All right, I just thought Jackie didn't have any thoughts on that, but I hung up on her. Hi, Jackie!
You hung up on me. I didn't know if that was intentional.
No, oh,
if
never.
She said I didn't know about the bikini babes with guns.
Never. In fact, you called me yesterday, and I didn't have a chance to call you back, so that's why a lot of times then I just talk to you on the air. So
yeah, but can we tell people that the one time I didn't call you back within like an hour, you got really upset
right.
with
oh,
me.
Oh, she does.
Right.
She does
why are you
that.
Being so distant? Why are you being so distant?
Yeah.
Why are you being so distant? What's wrong?
Yeah.
What's
yeah,
wrong?
And yesterday I didn't hear back from her.
I have a good reason. I'll tell you later.
That's what I was afraid of.
You know why.
I have a feeling I know.
Okay, Judy in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
You guys are just way too funny in the morning.
I know it.
Stephanie and Mooks. Listen, it's off subject now. When I called T-Bone, we were talking about this interrogation that Hillary Clinton was put through.
Right.
When Rand Paul asked that stupid question.
Yeah, turkey?
It seems to me it brought the Oliver Stone out of me. Republicans do two things. They either bring out the Pepto-Bismol need for me or the Oliver Stone in me. He must know something.
I think he wanted a gotcha question. He yeah. repeated it. And with the turkey thing, he must know something. I'm waiting for that second shoe to fall so they can say, aha, we caught her in a lie. To throw this shipping guns to Turkey, that's just my theory. I think they just wanted the gotcha, so there's something going on that we're not being
told about. Well, he gotcha as in got himself. He, you know,
I think so, and yeah. they don't even know it. They
right.
don't, they
he
don't
just
even
I think he's, shot himself.
Yeah, I think he's just been listening to Fox News and all their...
Yeah. I mean, yeah. seriously, Jackie, we... I'm sure we've all given at least one man in our life that look, but that look, just, I think I'm going to make that my screensaver. Just, what? Turkey? What the?
Turkey?
Seriously?
What are you
seriously,
talking
triple
about?
Hair? Really? Yeah, let's review one more time.
Had I been president at the time? Is the U.S. involved with transferring weapons to Turkey?
Turkey?
Oh, I can't hear it enough. Can't
Turkey.
Hear it enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She just cleaned the floor with them, didn't he?
Yeah,
didn't she?
Yeah.
All of them. Ron Johnson?
Yeah, and I mean, she was so cool and calm and collected and just so dignified. And she's actually sitting down today, I don't know if you know, but the joint interview with President Obama. They're going to speak to Steve Croft to 60 Minutes, and that'll air on Sunday. But it's the first joint interview that he's done with anyone other than his wife.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, so we'll see what she has to say. But I think it's interesting the two of them are sitting down together as she's going to be his outgoing Secretary of State.
Yes, yes. All right, nappy time for you. I'll call you later.
I know. I'm
thing.
Starting to fade.
I'll call you later about the thing.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah,
little,
tell
this
me
weekend,
the thing with the thing. And
thing
the,
what
yeah.
happened with the thing.
All right,
see you
got
this weekend.
It.
All right. Okay.
Bye,
okay,
guys.
Okay, love you. Bye. Miss you already. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Inauguration Week. We made it to the end. Woohoo! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I was having a flashback, Jim, to the last inauguration, when we had to go to the George W. Bush inauguration, which was somewhat less festive for us. Yes, and that someone actually took the time to do this. If you recall.
Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi. Yeah, Steffi. Oh, Steffi, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Oh, Steffi.
Yeah.
Oh, Steffi, what's a boy like me supposed to do? You really try me wild when you get sweaty in this suit. Oh, Steffi, how I love that talk show thing you do. It's hosts like you. What you do, Steffi,
yep.
do, Steffi,
yep.
up in this suit, Steffi.
Yep.
W out.
All right.
W out.
Okay, W out, thank God.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Gladys in Nebraska, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gladys.
Hi.
Hi.
Love the show.
Thank you.
I have a comment about Rand Paul. It appears that he has hopes and dreams of becoming president someday.
Sure.
And I
speak for Hillary and I when I say that's awesome. Okay, go ahead.
My suggestion is for him to wish in one hand and poop in the other and see which one gets filled first.
Wow. Haven't heard that expression
that
before.
Yikes. Okay. Gary in Indiana writes,
Gary in Indiana.
Oh, actually,
Gary, Indiana. See, it's a town. Oh,
actually,
no.
It's Missouri. I read that wrong.
Oh.
It's Missouri.
Okay.
No wonder you're gay. It sounds like the guys you dated were like my brothers. If you'd been with someone who wasn't a caveman, you might have been able to hold on a little longer.
Mm.
Okay. No, I don't think so. Maybe it was. Maybe I told my brother he turned me gay because he hung me. Maybe that was what it was. He did hang me. I survived, clearly.
I don't think anything turns you gay.
Just kidding, Chris LaBoy.
All right.
It was a segue, as they say in radio, to the Rhode Island House
said.
Of Representatives overwhelmingly passed legislation to allow gays and lesbians to marry in the only New England state where they can't.
Right.
It now moves to the Senate.
How about them apples?
Right? Right? Speaking of which, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show,
yeah.
Shelley Ryan, is pregnant with twins.
Wow.
What? They sent, she and her lovely wife sent me this email when we were busy in inauguration weekend.
Right.
I just got back yesterday. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. WTF? I go to the inauguration. What happened here?
I sent you the news story yesterday. I was hoping that wouldn't be the way you would have found out.
No, okay, they emailed me last week, and I was like, actually, I didn't have time to open it because you know how busy we were traveling, and there was just like two little T-shirts, and I was like, what? Are they selling tiny T-shirts? What's... I wasn't sure what it was.
And, you didn't
and then
read
I
it.
Was like, oh, exactly. I didn't have time to read it. I'm like,
you just saw the pretty pictures.
That is magical. Shelley Wright and her lovely wife, Lauren, pregnant with twins. Hooray.
And Shelley is the one who's
identical twins.
Who's going to be carrying the
yes.
children.
Yes.
And I helped.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
You did not help, Jim. You wanted to, but you didn't. All right. I was saying, speaking of women I love, Orly Tate's. I just missed her. In D.C.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
This is awesome. Where's my conspiracy music?
All right.
Okay. Birther Queen Orly Tate is now claiming she has the ability to have President Obama arrested in Connecticut.
Sure. Because?
Well, she has three supporters in Connecticut who are willing to sign a petition claiming Obama has violated election law in Connecticut.
All you need is three signatures in Connecticut?
Tate, a lawyer, dentist, real estate agent from Rancho Santa Margarita. What's not great about that whole sentence?
It's not even a sentence, just that first part.
I have evidence that he was lip-syncing the inauguration.
Right, he lip-synced the oath. That's probably what this is based on. She has long claimed that Obama's Social Security number was issued in Connecticut. In recent days, she focused her writings on finding the neighbors of a Bronx, New York man named Harry Bunnell. Whose Social Security number she believes Obama stole. She claims Bunnell is related to First Lady Michelle Obama's step-great-grandmother. And the First Lady may have claimed to be married to Bunnell.
And that Social Security number is 123-45-678.
The Connecticut claims comes days after Tate's traveled to D.C. For the inauguration,
where she
planned 12 hours of picketing in front of the White House and the Supreme Court. She was forced to move Monday's picket to Union Station because Supreme Court was closed due to the inauguration. We're going to have to move you.
Boy.
We're going to have to move you over to storage.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No.
New people coming in.
I was told I could keep my safe
all the space we can get.
I don't want to go to the bus station. No.
Yeah, that street behind the Capitol was shut down. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you couldn't get to the
Supreme
Court.
Let me through barricade. Let me finish. Mm.
She thinks it was conspiracy just to keep her out.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
I love her so much. All right. My other best friend, Vice President Joe Biden. That was my favorite thing of the week. My mother going, oh, dear. Do you have your arms around the vice president? How does the Secret Service allow that? I think they make an exception for the girls.
They screened everybody who came into the room.
There's that.
So, you know, I don't think it was just the girls.
My friend from me, she goes, you look hot. Who's the old guy hitting on you? Stop it. It was a joke.
So is somebody responsible for frisking all the gals in their gowns?
You should look into a career in the Secret Service, Jim.
Anyway, Biden meets with Democrats, stoking 2016 chatter. Oh, no. Oh, dear. I'm going to have another Sophie's Choice in the primary again. Joe Biden in 2016, the inauguration barely over. The VP already dropping plenty of hints he might have another political act. He packed his schedule with events and receptions attended by, you know.
Stephanie Miller.
And Hillary
he knows
said,
where the
Turkey?
Seat of power is.
Yeah.
Right. Hillary Clinton was in Turkey. Soaking speculation, he may be laying the groundwork to carry the torch from President Obama. Comes after Biden played a prominent role, remember, fiscal cliff, gun violence legislations.
Right.
The next presidential campaign a long way off, Democratic primary chase be dotted with plenty of ifs, most notably if Hillary Clinton is going to run.
Right.
Cuomo is, you know, positioning himself, keeping their options open.
The Republican's going to steal it, poo.
Biden said there's a whole lot of reasons I wouldn't run. He'll be nearly 74 on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
Still handsome and romantic, I have to say. He said, I don't have to make that decision for a while. Although he's doing nothing to tamp down speculation, he went to the Iowa State inaugural ball.
Yeah.
And he told partygoers he was proud to be president of the United States, prompting tears. He quickly corrected himself. Might not have been a gaffe.
Got a little ahead of himself, man.
Saying he's proud to be vice president of the United States. I'm proud to be president of Barack Obama's vice president. He also, and there's the part with us, he attended a ball honoring environmentalists sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation. That's us, the Green Ball.
That's right.
And other environmental groups where he said the Obama administration was committed to confronting climate change. He said, I don't intend to let these 4 years go by without getting a hell of a lot done. I saw him say that in person. The crowd went wild.
I love that picture of him in the West Wing there in the vice presidential hallway.
Down yes.
By the jacket and the guts.
Yeah, we got a White House Zero situation.
Yeah.
I got all the pictures, and they change the pictures like almost every week. I know it.
Except for the one of the boy touching the president's hair.
Right.
President Obama has ordered that picture stay on the wall.
Yeah. They have the most amazing picture in the hallways, and that's what they said. They change them once a week, but they're whoever that photographer is, it's unbelievable.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I'm all out of time now.
Uh-oh.
With my little useless stories. All right. we are really just running on fumes. Oh, we need to sleep all weekend now. All right. That's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Warren, T-Bone on phones and drums and house and dog sitting, Courtney and Jackie and everybody in the current control room holding down the fort. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.